session number 24567, Rule 4.
Mr. Broomfield, Rule 4. We were talking about you, when you were attached to the Black Watch informally. The rest of the remains of Number 4 Div Petrol Company. You'd lost your vehicles; they'd been destroyed by the enemy, and of course by yourselves. And you mentioned you were marching across the field. Can you tell us about the march towards Le Pan, or Dupin, and Dunkirk?
Well, we turned out we were making for Dupin. We got there.
What do you remember about the march? I mean,
it was Paddy's army. Well, we were trying to make for the for Dunkirk, and nearest way for us was Dupin, and then take the coast up to Dunkirk, but we didn't get that far. We only got to Dupin. Everything was burning.
Were you suffering from fatigue during this period? I mean, had you managed to get any sleep at all during the last...
Very little.
Were you tired?
Very tired, yeah.
How did it show itself? I mean, what symptoms of fatigue did you have?
I don't know.
Could you concentrate and things like
No. You just hope for the next day would, you know, turn out better than the one you were in it at the time. We came through Dupin.
What could you see?
Most of it was burning. A lot of it was burning badly. An awful lot of soldiers, and then we made for the sand dunes, which were... It was, describe it. It wasn't nice flowing sands. It was big tuffets of grass growing, which we tried to dig a hole down under those. And all day long, day and night, the Stukas were over. We were there for 3 nights.
Now, what was it like during that 3 days and 3 nights?
Terrible. It was like, it was indescribable. You wouldn't think you would hear such a noise or see such evil things going on. You'd go back up into the front and look in there, see if you find anything to eat at all. Nothing to eat. You couldn't get, by the third night there was nothing to drink even, and you just got back down in your rabbit hole and hope for the best.
So what could you see?
Oh, you could see the boats coming in. But yeah, every time, of course, you couldn't get out to them or on them at all. I couldn't swim, for one thing. Never had learned to swim. And
you were just waiting by the dugout, so would you go out onto
beach? We'd go out. We'd go as far as we could to try and get in, get onto a boat.
Would you actually go into the water?
Oh, we had to, because there was no landing stages. That was Bray Dunes, was the place we got to. In the end, that was the farthest we could, nearest we could get to Dunkirk, was Bray Dunes.
This is where you dug in at?
Yeah, that's where we had to in the end.
Now, what were the Stuka attacks like? Could you just give us an idea?
You've never heard such noise in all your life. They'd get up about, they had something fitted on the front when they came into a dive. You never, it's noise, noise, it frightened the life out of you. And
it was meant to frighten.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'd sling a few bombs at the same time, that was all. Mind you, on the dunes, you had to more or less have a direct hit. You'd do an awful lot of machine gunning, they would. That's why we got under the sand things. But
was it the Stukas machine gunning or the Messerschmitts?
Yeah, both of them. Stuka made the noise, and Messerschmitts did the damage.
And did you have any close escapes? Were they attacking near you?
You see the two or three foot in front of you. You see the sand come up
Were you nervous?
Nervous, I was frightened stiff.
Was everybody scared?
Everyone was. Anyone could say with any honesty that they weren't.
Was there any sign of panic?
Not bad. I can remember on the Sunday morning, we even had a church service on there. Had a parson there, we did.
What do you remember of that? Can you tell us about that?
I can remember the hymn. The hymns, singing hymns.
Whereabouts were you? Actually on the dunes?
On the dunes, Bray Dunes, yeah.
What was the service like? How many were there? What do you remember
of it? Oh, I think there was... Best part of 100 of us there, I'll bet.
Didn't that provide a bit of a target for Luftwaffe?
Well, we bolted when we heard any coming. They didn't. They weren't. Not even they could come. Be continuous. They had to have hour or two off for things like that. And then they sent.
Now, do you know what days you were on the beach? It's probably difficult, but. Roughly what days?
I know I was on there for 3 days, and the last day that I was, on the last day I was there, they had a naval person was beach control. Was controllers of each beach, and he came round on that last day, which was I think the 3rd of June. He came in and said, right, tomorrow is going to be the last evacuation day. If you don't get away tomorrow, you've got to surrender then. So there was three of us.
You weren't with your commanding officer anymore?
No. He'd gone over.
Had he got off, or
I don't know. I don't know whether he did get off or what happened to him.
The whole unit had split up.
Oh, they disbanded. Long quite a while, a couple of weeks.
And you weren't with the Black Watch anymore.
No, we were all on our own then.
So what happened? Well, three of you. Were they all from the unit?
Yeah, all from our unit. All three of us. So we said, right, the first boat we see coming in the morning, we're having it.
This is the morning of the 4th of June.
Morning of the 4th of June. So we got down there. We saw the boat. Saw this little ship stop, and we saw a rowing boat coming away. So we went out as far as we could. We'd taken our boots off and all, tied them in. And we grabbed that boat, turned it round quick, hopped aboard, eight or ten got in, and then we rowed it out to the little boat. And I think...
So you got into a rowing boat, basically?
Yeah, into a rowing boat, and then rowed on.
How many of you in all?
I reckon there were about 10 of us all got into this rowing boat. And then we got out to the... What you call it, we had to climb up a... what you call it, net?
Scramble net.
Climbed up that onto the boat.
And what type of boat was this you'd got on?
Well, I don't know. Do you know what? I can't even remember. I have an idea in the back of my head that it was a paddle steamer. and she got a direct hit because she sunk.
Well, hang on, we'll come to that. So you got on board this paddle
steamer.
Yeah,
we got on board the paddle steamer, and that was turned round coming back towards England. And we hadn't moved much. I think she'd started. And it got a direct hit.
Now, what do you remember? Was it, what hit it?
A bomb.
From what? Tell us what happened.
I think it was one of the big bombers, one of the German bombers, came over and they were dropping. They couldn't miss, so they did something if they dropped. And it split her in half.
Now, where were you when the bomb? What do you remember of the bomb coming down and the rest of it?
What I remember was being shot out into the sea and I couldn't swim. That's what I remembered. Anyhow, I got on that. These two mates who I was with, they got an old door. They said, come on, get on here. They got me on this old door and they started pushing it, and we were picked up by another. But we weren't in it. I shouldn't think we were in the sea not half an hour even. We were within seeing distance of the shore still.
Had you been injured in the explosion?
No.
Just knocked up over.
That's right, yeah. Shook up.
So what was this second ship that picked you up, or boat or?
I think I got, I don't know, but I got an idea. It was HMS Harvester, and that was a destroyer. But it was with a civilian crew. It hadn't been handed over to the Navy. It got a civilian crew on board, and they picked us up, and we landed it.
What do you remember of the crossing?
Nothing at all. No, I know there was a lot of activity going on.
Were you below deck then?
No, we were up on deck. We were up on the top. We landed at Ramsgate, I'll never forget landing at Ramsgate, and we were pelted with tomatoes and I don't know what. Because we got no uniform, nothing at all, we hadn't got anything to wear. We were wet through, and I was given an old pair of naval overall trousers. Ones used to wear. That's how I landed in that. I think they thought we were Germans. Ramsgate when we came off there.
So what did they do? They pelted us.
Pelted us with tomatoes. But
were they shouting?
Oh yeah, of course. Was having another son, but they soon realised after, a few minutes that. We were all right. And
this was just because they thought you were German. Yeah, they thought you'd done badly.
No, wasn't that? No, they thought we were German.
But what happened then? Where were you taken after Ramsgate?
I finished up in Devizes. Yeah, I finished up in Devizes. We got to Devizes and then we got to kitted out again, but there, that was another big laugh too, because you never got anything that fitted you at all. They'd give you this and that and that. If you you swapped around with your mates, does this fit you, that fit you?
Were they short of kit then?
Of course they were very short, yeah. And from there.
Now, who was at Devizes? You know, I mean, were there many of your unit there, or was it just a completely mixed?
No. When we reformed, we stayed at Devizes for probably a week, 2 weeks. And then it came through that 4th Div were reforming in Somerset, near Crewkerne, Somerset. And when we got down there, eventually, there turned out to be around about 70 some of them, obviously, that turned up. Um, And from there we moved on up to Winchester.
Were you getting reinforcements coming into town?
No, not then. When we got to Winchester, they decided then that 4th Div was so badly damaged that they were disbanding it. And most of us got posted for overseas or something else. I was then sent up to Yorkshire. The RASC holding battalions for was it Yorkshire.
Whereabouts in Yorkshire?
Bradford.
Bradford.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was at Bradford area. It was all around there, Batley, Shipley. I was at.
But whereabouts was this? Would this be June or still or July?
1940. Oh. No, because we stayed in Somerset long enough to help with the harvest and on farms there. That would have been October, November, probably. And
what were you doing with the Holden Battalion?
I was taking new recruits, call-up people. I was on Ilkley Moor, teaching them rifle shooting. Yeah.
Even though you weren't very good at it.
No, I knew. I was teaching them Brens to come on then, you see. In my day, we only had rifle, 303, Lee Enfield. But then now we had the Bren carrier and the anti-tank gun. Teaching them all then.
You were teaching, but you didn't know them yourself, did you?
I couldn't fire them straight. I knew the basics of it.
So you were doing not just the rifle, but all these new the Bren and
anti tank. We used to go onto Ilkley Moor. Got caught out there one night and then fog. I'd stop out there all night. Yeah, we did that. And we used to parade. I was actually in Saltaire. And I had a lovely big house there. I had about 40. I was a corporal still, full corporal. And I was in charge of a billet. I had about 40 blokes.
What were the billets like?
Oh, house. Well, house. Well, they had a bed. That's all they had. Their kit bags and that to keep their clothes. Used to parade in the back-to-back streets. I was in there parading my lot, and every day used to parade at the headquarters, 9 o'clock, and they'd read out the postings, and your name was read out. You were gone, and then you'd take your squad round some. They were blokes just been called up, you see. They were actually trying to make soldiers of them.
Now, when had you been made a corporal? You hadn't mentioned that.
Oh, I was made a corporal in France.
And what would you say was the role of corporal? What was it like?
Everybody's lackey. I was made up and lost it two or three times during the army career.
Well, you were made up. You kept it while you were at Saltaire, though.
Yeah, I was the one there, and was there one day, and broke them all for 10 o'clock, a cup of tea. You see, Naffy they used to go to, cafe, an old girl. Stood at the door watching me tell them something, and she said to me, "Would I like a cup of tea?" So I said, "Oh yeah, yes please, I don't mind." She opened the door and I stood there, and there in there, lovely big fire there in front, I could see a tea cloth over something. This tea cloth was going up and up and up. for? I said, I'd never seen it before. But she was making bread. Oh, I got well in the orchid, dear. But that was a good place.
And then eventually,
I thought I was there for the rest of the war. Christ, one day we prayed. I prayed in my lot again. And my name was one of the first called out, and we were bound for Singapore.
And when was this?
Well, we were on the high seas when Singapore fell. We got into the Indian Ocean.
So tell us about the voyage, Alan. Who was going with you? You were on a draft.
RAFC draft. Not in any company or anything, just a draft.
And which ship were you aboard?
Laconia. The Laconia. SS Laconia. Had the most...
L-A-C-O-N-I-A.
Laconia. She had the most... She was 29,000 tons. She had the most world cruises to the merchant navy in those days. Lovely old boat. Out of Liverpool. We went from Liverpool. Real Liverpool, what you are. And I was lucky, I was in charge of the deck. Right in the bows, right by the stokers and that from Liverpool, and they took me under their wing. Of course, and feed like a lord for them, these boats. We got
what were conditions like on board?
Oh, not bad at all. You had most of us slept on palliasses on the floor, but you could have a what if you wanted one, you know, the
a hammock.
But
we were
about 3,500 on board, I think there was. We went over to, we went over to Halifax first from Liverpool.
To Canada.
Yeah, to drop off with a hell of a lot of airmen learning to fly. Drop them off.
Were you seasick?
Seasick, I wouldn't mind if I'd died. Terrible. We left Halifax.
How bad was seasickness for you? I mean, people say it. I mean, how bad? Were you sick all the time?
All the time, yeah. A chap who was my friend in those days, was on the RAFC draft with me. He was a fisherman out of Hull. Lived in Hull, he did. And he used to make me get up every morning and walk round and round them decks. I used to walk. They'd be deserted, nobody about on them at all. He used to say, keep moving, that's the best thing. And we went to Halifax, and then we left to Halifax. Didn't know what was happening. Next thing we knew, we were stopped right outside the Statue of Liberty. There were three of us in this convoy. The Laconia, I forget what the other two. That our escort was the Ark Royal, and one of them had blown a turbine, and of course Yanks weren't in the war. They came out to amended it. We sat there for 2 days. Then off we went again, and next thing we knew, we were in the West Indies to refuel. They refueled in the West Indies. Then we set off again. And God, it must have seemed that I think we were all, I forget how many days we were at sea. Then one morning, it was getting quite hot. One morning we woke up and everything was quiet. No engines going, no nothing. And I said to one of the old Liverpool Stoke. I said, what's going on? I said, no. Oh, he said, Singapore's fallen. And we were in the Indian Ocean, bound for Singapore. They turned us round. We went into Cape Town. The other two boats went into Durban. We went into Cape Town. We had a week's shore leave at Cape Town.
What was that like?
Oh, lovely. Beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful country. Yeah, went up Table, Table Mountain there.
How did the South Africans treat you?
All the whites, of course, in those days. The blacks, poor buggers, but they weren't even allowed to look at you, you know, and talk to you. We had a week there, and then we sailed on up the Red Sea, Suez Canal, to the desert. They planted us in the desert then.
So where did you land?
Suez. And then up...
Port Suez?
Yeah, and then up into the canal zone.
Where did you go to up the desert?
We went up to the RASC depot, which was at Telekabir in the...
Canal zone.
We stayed there for a year or two, a day or two rather, to get acclimatised. And then we moved with our lorries up the desert.
And this would be February, would it, 41?
That would be, February 41. Then...
Now, had you been formed into a unit yet?
Yes, we'd come out as a unit. We were a unit, 168 GT Company. I think the first call we did was a place called Amarir, which was between Alexandria and Tobruk. And that was about the railhead finishing there. And we can't remember what we loaded up with, but we were there, and then we'd take whatever we'd picked up on up to the troops, which were then between Tobruk and Benghazi, wherever the, you know, the front was.
Now, what sort of things did you pick up?
Most things we would...
Was Amarir where you always went to?
Amarir was the railhead. That's where the railhead was at the all the time I was up there. And you'd go up, and whatever the supply people at Amarir wanted moved, where, and they'd tell you where to take it to. I remember one trip we did. I had a driver at the time, and it was his 21st birthday, I'll never forget it. And we were loaded. I think I had about 15 lorries I was in charge of. And we were loaded with spirits, full of whiskey, brandy, rum, whatever you could think of. And we were forbidden to sleep on the loads on the way up, wherever we were going. This chap said to me, an old dodge was, I can't remember exactly, but I think everything was in about a dozen bottles, in a case they would be. Well, you drop the case heavy, to break wild, and then they'd say, well, can we have a drink tonight? And this chap, they sat on the lorry, about half a dozen of them, and they when I went to wake them next morning, didn't move on. We'd linger. They were blind drunk, two or three of them were. They couldn't drive, and I had to use all my spare drivers. And this chap was like it. He was a Welshman. I'll never forget him, Taffy Rowlands. And 3 days, and then I had to take him to the we used to have certain distances up the desert you were going, and you'd come to a medical centre. I had to take him to one of these, and
you hadn't drunk any of it.
No, I couldn't drink, no.